Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The girls are back in town. Yes, you can see Lucy and Jenny live when they bring a very special quiz night along with an edition of Fingers on Buzzers to the Clapham Grand on Monday, the 26th of October, 2020. There'll be quizzes, there'll be prizes. There's going to be a special guest, which will be announced shortly. Tickets are sold in groups of two and over. But if you're somebody that prefers to go to these things alone, then just drop us a line at fingersbuzzers@gmail.com and we'll partner you up with somebody to buy tickets with. In the meantime, you can go to claphamgrand.com for all information and tickets.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome to yet another episode of
Fingers on Buzzers.
Da 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 da. That's what it is. It's lovely to be back with you. And today we have got, the lovely Tom Price.
Yeah.
Woo!
Woo! DJ.
I feel like a hype man at the moment. Yeah.
Woo! I've always wanted a hype man. If you could just come to all my gigs, that'd be great. And we're also going to be chatting to quiztastic young Alex McMillan, who's got some stories of quizzing to tell us, and indeed a quiz to give to us. So it's a jam-packed jamboree of a show with a lot of anagrams, I feel, are going to be coming up. I've just got that feeling in my waters, Jen.
You know, it's a wonderful component of any quiz, especially when you've got a pen and paper.
Yes, go arm yourselves, ladies and gents, with pen and paper, and we'll get on with the episode. Now, we are delighted to be joined by a wonderful, I'm going to say a young man. Is that, do I sound like a sort of...
I'll take that as polite.
He's a wonderful young man. He's a young thing. The lovely Mr. Alex McMillan.
Hello, Jenny and Lucy.
Thank you so much for coming to join us. And Alex, will you tell us a bit about your relationship with quiz?
Okay, this is a long and winding road. I originally got started in quizzing when my dad would watch The Weakest Link and became obsessed with it as a kid. And since then, I have started a quiz society at university and gone on to write for various TV shows So just a real sort of scattershot approach to everything.
Well, amazing. And I mean, I'd said young. Can you give us a ballpark figure of your age?
Let's check I can get this right. I'm mid-20s at the moment.
Oh, a lovely thing to be, the mid-20s. Yeah, I mean, you know, late 20s, that's not really until you're 29, I think.
I'm on the cusp, I'd say. I'm beginning to reach wherever the shadowy peak is.
Yeah, it's all downhill. It's all downhill after about 28.5. So an amazing, you know, an amazing amount of quizzing achievement in a relatively short amount of time. Tell us a little bit about the shows that you've been contributing to.
So I have been writing on Only Connect for about 2 years now, which is sort of, I say, the crown jewel of my little array of things. I've also been writing for Mastermind, and as such Celebrity Mastermind as well. I've done a bit of writing for The Wall. I've also done writing for a show called Lightning, which at time of recording may not have gone out. So I'm not sure when that's coming out, unfortunately.
Is that Zoe Lyons?
It is indeed. We recorded that over here a few weeks back.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very excited to see it because I love Zoe more than life itself. So
she is stunning. Loved working with her.
And where are you based, Alex?
I am based in the sunny, exotic climes of Belfast.
Which is now becoming an absolute hub of quizzing, isn't it? Because, of mm-hmm. course, Mastermind is now recorded in Belfast. Lightning, as you say, was recorded there. And is there a thriving quiz scene in Northern Ireland?
I think it's one of these things where the passion and the will is there, but there for a long time wasn't a sort of central nexus for everyone to coalesce around. So there was. I started the Queen's Quiz Society at Queen's University Belfast in, I think, 2015. It's been a while. And I remember the sort of the feedback I got from people when I was trying to set it up was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm quite into quizzes. Yeah, this sounds, you know, like something I could be interested in. But up to that point, they sort of felt like, well, that's just a thing you go and do in the pub occasionally. You know, there's no need to be doing that on a scheduled basis. It's sheer lunacy. And then once the option was there, I think a lot of people realized, oh, this is a hobby more than an event, an infrequent event. It's something that you can actually be passionate about.
And how exciting to be there at the sort of the beginnings of a flourishing quiz scene.
It was a bit of a wild west at the beginning there, trying to figure out what we were doing, what the focus was. There was a lot of, we had a lot of people come to our booth at our Freshers' Fair, first time we were there. And they would arrive and they would say, oh, yeah, no, I love quiz. I love catchphrase. And I didn't know how to respond to that.
Oh, well, I mean, we all love catchphrase, but yeah.
It's borderline. Yeah.
I felt a weird sense of pride and shame at the same time. Of like, yeah, I guess I'll take that. That's fine.
To me, it's interesting to see what younger people cite as their quizzing influences. Because obviously you mentioned The Weakest Link, which was on when you were a kid. And what else was part of your quizzing formative years?
It's a bit odd because growing up as a child, my grandmother had access to Challenge. And because of that, there was a lot of shows that were much older than I realised they were that I became really hooked on. So, like, I think the sort of the diet I had for a while was The Weakest Link was on the normal TV. And then whenever I got access to the luxury of Challenge TV, it was The Krypton Factor and Bullseye and, like, old episodes of Millionaire where they actually had a big novelty phone. Instead of just using the sort of omnipotent voice. And I didn't understand that these were older. I didn't understand that I couldn't be on them anymore. So it was a weird thing where I think a lot of people of my age group probably don't realise how influenced they are by... Like, we're sort of quizzers out of time, to a degree, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, would you say it's sort of a golden era of quizzing at the moment, isn't it?
I'm really happy with where things are at the moment. It's weird. It's like a State of the Union, isn't it? I think things are great at the moment. I mean, certainly.
Alex says everything's fine. So that's, I think, especially also because things are also flourishing kind of not just in London, like, you know, as we said, in Belfast, in Glasgow, there's a lot of stuff being recorded, and there's quiz scenes kind of popping up all over the place, right?
It is, yes, especially like Glasgow obviously is a Glasgow and Manchester are sort of like beacons of what could be outside of London, and I probably wouldn't have got into working in television so specifically if it wasn't for Mastermind coming over here, because I was working in VR, I was working in virtual reality up until sort of mildly recently, and then TV producer informed me that a big quiz was making the move over here, and that, you know, it might be viable to be a quiz writer who's local to Belfast now. And as yes. such, that sort of shifted me into that direction.
Well, it is great. Not having to move to London is obviously a bonus in all kinds of ways. And we have a lot of people who ask us, or a lot of the listeners are interested in how you do break into question writing or production. And is there anything that you can think of that might be useful to pass on?
I mean, it's being a bit cheeky, unfortunately, in a lot of cases. I found most of the gigs I've managed to land were just because I was mildly bold and got in contact with someone who I have not spoken to before in a professional manner. The way I got the Only Connect gig was I'd been applying since I was 18 and had failed routinely to get through, because I'm really bad at the wall, and in auditions I would just always choke on the wall. And so I just got so sick of not getting on the show, I just contacted Mike Turner via email, one of the Only Connect senior writers, and I just said, would you mind if I sent you a set and you can see if these are okay, if these can go through? And since then it's been a very nice thing to be working on.
But there you go, Lucy. If you can't be on the show, write for it.
Just I know, well, spiteful. I mean...
I'm very happy to be cheeky to Mike Turner. I'm entirely comfortable with that. Mike, if you're listening, prepare for some cheek coming your way. Well, it's inspiring to talk to you, Alex, and exciting. And I cannot wait to obviously see Lightning, which I'm very excited about. I don't know anything about the format. All I know is that I spoke to Zoe and she said that she was doing this quiz, which she was delighted about because she loves a quiz as well. And in fact, we should definitely get her on the show. Which she's never
right
done.
Her on the list, Amanda.
Yeah.
I feel like I've sunk her into this now.
Ah, yes.
But this is what we like. We've been talking recently about having female quiz show hosts, and it's kind of, it's still the old school thing of a guy in a suit is Mr. Authoritative. And,
absolutely.
And people don't necessarily want that anymore. And it's very old fashioned. So it's brilliant that someone like Zoe is got her own show. Yeah.
I do think it's very interesting as well, all of the sort of new wave quizzes. I mean, I would say, like, I'm trying to think, so Only Connect and Hive Minds and Lightning. I mean, Hive Minds is probably not quite up there, but they've all got women at the front of them now. And the only one I can really think, the only two I can think of that are newer probably are Richard Osman's House of Games, due to Pointless, and The Millionaire Reboot. It's balancing out, I hope. As we're going forward, we're getting more representation to a degree.
Yeah. I'm not so sure, really. No, I've seen who's coming up on the rails. If you're a male middle-aged chef, you're definitely all right for hosting a quiz show.
Oh,
yeah, we've got Gina De Campo and Gordon Ramsay have got hosting show
no
duties
way.
Coming up. Yeah.
Really?
Not even Worrell Thompson.
I mean, wither Anthony Worrell.
Well, he's always reminded me a bit of Noel Edmonds, so maybe they could do a Deal or No Deal reboot and he could have that.
Oh,
I think he'd suit that. And then the box could be full of food. That'd be it. They open the box and there's a tasty treat inside.
This is reminding me of Win It Cook It.
Oh, God, I don't remember Win It Cook It.
It was Simon Rimmer. And I mean, I'm saying this, I didn't watch it. I watched the trailer. But it was a quiz where you won ingredients to then make a meal.
Oh, mate,
that sounds like a bit of too much of a hodgepodge, really. I mean, Ready, Steady, Cook or Going for Gold, you can't do both.
It did feel honestly. Like they needed a show to wedge between a cookery show and a quiz show, and they thought, we'll just go to the centre of the Venn diagram.
Yeah.
And that'll work.
Yeah.
It's they keep trying to make antique quiz shows.
Yes.
Stop. Please
no one's
stop.
Interested.
Yeah. I want to watch Bargain Hunt, and I want to watch... You know, The Edge. in the afternoon. The news in the middle. I don't want whatever's in the middle.
Yeah, now, if you took the format of The Edge and instead you were rolling Ming vases.
Here we go. Get this pitch. Come on.
There we go.
That's proper Jeopardy, though. It's not how much was that worth. It's like, you've just destroyed a 900-year-old item.
Do you know what? This is gold. Let's stop talking now because otherwise we're going to give away too much.
Yay, let's get that. Manda, NDAs.
There's just 5 minutes of silence in the middle of this episode. Yeah.
Well, I'm even more excited about the future now that we know that that show is in prospect. And I think you're going to join us later on to give us a quiz at the very end of the show.
Hopefully so, yes.
And now we have the very special guest, the one and only Mr. Tom Price.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Sweet. Jenny's clapping. It's... Thanks. Can I join in with the clapping?
Yeah, always.
Hooray!
There you go.
Oh, I miss being clapped on stage. That was a nice thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, just two of us tonight.
Sounds the same as my last Edinburgh preview.
We've all had those gigs, haven't we, exactly. Tom? Oh, well, we know you, of course, from the comedy circuit, Tom Price, but you are a fascinating broadcaster, entertainment... I couldn't even say it. I didn't believe it. Entertainmentator. You're an all-round entertainer. You've done many things in your life, and what we're going to do is we're going to talk about those things through the medium of quiz. You spent your early life, didn't you, Tom Price, in Monmouth, your formative years? Wikipedia says you were born in Herefordshire, but I mean, I never know whether to trust that.
You can actually trust that, but don't tell anyone who's ever employed me because I'm Welsh, which quite a significant segment of my career has been built on being Welsh. But I was actually born in Hereford, about 15 minutes from Monmouth, and then driven back into Wales that day and then spent like the next 18 years in Wales. So please don't take away my Welshness. Thanks.
I think there's going to be a lot of angry Welsh people, but we'll...
They already are. That wasn't in question. They are available. They're for hire, the angry Welsh.
I mean, is Monmouth really Wales? I mean, you know, that's a debate that I've had with...
Well, I mean, yeah. No, it was... I think it became... There was some act of Parliament in something like 67 or 72 where Monmouth was actually acknowledged to be Welsh for the first time. Up until that point, technically... It had always been neither England nor Wales. In fact, there was a phrase that was you're either from England, Wales, or Monmouthshire. That was like a known thing. I'm from the borderlands, which has always given me a slightly diluted is the wrong word, but very split personality because I feel very Welsh, but I sound very English, which is a weird one.
You do. Which British monarch was born in Monmouth?
Oh, come on. You're going to have to make these harder. Considering there's nothing else in Monmouth to talk about, unless you want to talk about the Wetherspoons opening in 1996, which is the only other big event. See, of course. It was Henry V.
It wasn't. Of course, then you know what year, because obviously it's such a big story. So just tell us the year and then we can move on, Tom, now that you've told us how easy that is.
Why do you always crank up the smoke? Just turn down.
It always escalates from nice friendly chat into quiz.
Yeah.
Roughly.
14.
No.
15.
No, wrong way.
Oh, 13.
Yes.
1390.
A little bit earlier, four years earlier.
1389.
Well, 4 years earlier than 1390.
Oh, fuck. 1385. 1386. Is it 1386? Is that right?
It is. It's 1386. For ages, they didn't know, and now they've sort of worked out it's 1386. And Henry V enjoyed an early friendship with a supporter of the Lollards, which I'm not going to ask you to explain what Lollards were, but he was the basis for a Shakespearean character. Well, you must know which Shakespearean character, right, he was based on.
What? Who Henry V?
No, Shakespeare.
Because I was going to say Henry V was based on Henry V.
Henry V, very much.
Shakespeare had no imagination.
Who was his mate?
Was it Falstaff?
It was Falstaff. Yay. And do you know the name of the actual real life Falstaff?
Oh, wow. Great question. No, I can't. No, this is one of those questions where I could sit here. We could sit here for the rest of time, and I'm enjoying your company, and it's time away from my kids. And I'm happy to do that, but I'll never get there.
Jenny?
Oh, no, but I think that is a really tough question, to be honest.
It is.
Even for someone not from Monmouth.
Good. Thanks, Jenny. I feel better now. What's the bloody answer then?
It's Sir John Oldcastle.
Okay.
Oldcastle, yeah. Mm. There's definitely pubs named after him, right?
I've definitely
seen a Sir John Oldcastle on my travels. I'm trying to picture it now.
And there must be a Falstaff Inn somewhere, because if there's not, that would be a great name for a pub, wouldn't it? The Falstaff Arms? Yeah. The Falstaff Inn? Falstaff
is a sort of forerunner for the Rick Mail character in Blackadder, isn't it? Woof, woof, it's all that sort of stuff. It's great. Flashman. Falstaff was the starting point for that. If you can't name a pub after someone as exuberant as that, you're missing a trick.
And also, if anyone opens a pub called the Lord Flashheart, I'm in there in seconds.
And everyone would walk into that pub and go, woof, woof! Like...
I have checked the Sir John Oldcastle, and mm-hmm. I said, I'm sure there is a pub named after him. It's a Wetherspoons in Farringdon. So,
yes!
I've been past it dozens of times.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right
by the station on the corner.
Yeah. I love a prominent Spoons. Always very baffling when there's a big sort of there's a very prominent Spoons near me, the Old Coronet on Holloway Road, and it's like a warehouse of people trying to die. It's extraordinary.
I mean, I'm sort of hoping we might one day get sponsored by Tim Wetherspoon. Tim Spoon. So well done on your Monmouth knowledge there. You did did pretty damn well.
What did I get? One?
Yeah, but
technically.
And Shakespeare and all kinds of things. And then obviously you went to Warwick University.
Correct.
I haven't got any questions about that, but just I thought the listeners might like to know, be interested.
Not a very interesting place unless you've got a passion for car parking, in which case I could take you through Car Park 9, the multi-story right by the Arts Centre. Absolute belter. Yeah, really good one. Really good one.
Yeah, thank you.
Honestly, that's the most passion I have for Warwick University right there.
And then I met you when you were a young blade on the comedy circuit, which takes us to your acting career. You've appeared in many different shows, Torchwood being one of those
Please
shows.
Please don't quiz me on Dr. Hill Torchwood.
Well, because if you get it wrong, then you're in big trouble, aren't you?
The fandom come for you.
They do, Jenny. They know. And this is something which has happened before. When you go and do conventions, which I've done a bit of, and you sit down and they ask you questions. What was it like when you first encountered a weevil? And I'm like, what the fuck is a weevil, mate? I don't even know. I don't know what you're talking about. By the way, what is your swearing? Do you want me to stop swearing? What's the swearing bit?
Well, why don't you say, what the hell is a weevil? And then
I could have said, what the hell, and been a better comic here, right? See, this is why I never made it onto Taskmaster. So they know. But, you know, there's a famous story about Peter Davison, of course, who was one of the doctors, doing a convention. And they quiz you when you do stuff on stage. They really want to drill down, but they don't want to know about flim flam. They want to know about proper stuff in the Doctor Who world. And they were starting to ask Peter Davison a question about the Doctor. And it was when the guy said, when you did this, when you were fighting the Daleks on the moon, I don't know what the plot was. And it occurred to Peter as he was listening that it was a Tom Baker episode that this guy was talking about. And he said, well, I would love to tell you more about this, but that was Tom. And the guy said, yeah, but you're the Doctor, so you would know.
Right.
It's adorable. That's the word we're looking for, isn't it? Let's stay with adorable. But that, for me, sums up the whole Doctor Who land.
Just quickly, I will ask you, not about Doctor Who, but the anagrammatic nature of it really appeals to me, that Torchwood is, of course, an anagram of Doctor Who.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So your name, Tom Price, is an anagram of Crime Pot, which I think would be an excellent show. Or Time a Cop. A cop who can only solve a mystery in 15 minutes. Or
I'm
something.
Pretty sure I subscribe to both those podcasts.
I'm going to give you three anagrams of popular television programmes, and I want you to tell me what the television programme is. Okay, the first one is Bob's Karate Firefight.
Bob's Karate Firefight. Oh, gosh, I wish that was just a show in its own right. I'm really, really bad at anagrams, just to get that absolutely out there. Bob's Karate Firefight. I'm going to say... can you give me a clue?
It's quite long. Yeah, it's a well-known show that's just about to return to our screens at the time of recording.
It's just about to return to our screens?
With a slight change of personnel.
Strictly Come Dancing.
No, the other one.
Nice.
What's the other big show that Matt Lucas has just joined?
Oh, The Great British Bake Off. Thank you for pretty much saying the word.
Great British Bake Off. I haven't put that in because that would have changed the...
In that case, I'm claiming the point. If I'd heard the THE, I'd have known it was The Great British Bake Off.
This is a classic quiz, which is called Dogging Floor.
a classic
quiz of the 1980s, one of our absolute favourites on this podcast with a wonderful theme song.
Dogging Floor, classic quiz, 1980s. It's not Countdown, it's not Blockbusters.
The heat was on when this came around. The time was right.
It is on the time. I know Henry Kelly's there and he's absolutely going for a drink. No, gold. He's going for gold.
Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. You've done very well. The last one is instead of Torchwood, what show would become New Torch? New Torch. It's a big drama.
Sherlock. No, I'm just saying words. Lucy, you've known me for a long time. I just say the words. Big drama. I don't know. Tell me.
It's The Crown.
The Crown.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, New Torch.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Anyway, there we go. That was just a little fun quiz to get us talking about, we talked about going for gold, about quizzing and your relationship to quizzing, Tom Price.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, being a gobshite that I am, I often get asked to host quizzes. And you guys must obviously know about this. And it's amazing how you realise the skills, right? Seriously, there's loads of rules and all the little things. And when... You know, lots of things like PTA quizzes. I've done a lot of those. And you rock up and you've got all these great, enthusiastic volunteers who have written the quizzes. And I swear to you, the first one I did 4 years ago when I was just, you know, getting into the PTA scene, one of the questions was, what was the best Marilyn Monroe film? It's not really a question, though, is it? That's,
yeah.
Like, seriously.
Subjectivity has no place in quiz.
No place. And there's got to be 10 points around. And when they're saying, well, let's just give a bonus point in this round, I'm like, no, there's no bonus points. There's 10 points around. We're not giving bonus points. What is this? This is anarchy. So I come across, I think I'm, it's not done well for my reputation amongst the parents. And that's a tight-knit community because I get a bit stroppy. Genuinely, I'll turn up at quizzes and, you know, they've, for example, here's a good one. They will set up, there's some amazing people, really, you know, so enthusiastic, and they want it to be a great night, and they do a PowerPoint with all of the questions on while I'm talking. And I'm like, but if you do that, they're just going to read the questions and no one's going to listen to me, which is fine, but you might as well just put the PowerPoint on and some nice music. Like, I'll go and DJ, I'll do my Magic FM bit, and we'll just play Phil Collins. Like, all these little things, and you become very demanding. There are rules, right?
Yeah.
And we had a Zoom quiz during lockdown, which was a disaster. We had a proper catastrophe. We had 200 parents on one Zoom call.
Wow.
Bursting at the seams with parents. They'd all teamed up. And there was a network of four parents on a WhatsApp group who were doing the scores. They decided to do the scores. Get this. No. Talk about an overreach. Talk about a digital overreach. They decided to do the scores via Google Doc. So they were attempting to get parents to send in... at the end of each round, email in onto a Google Doc and then making. Yeah, I know, Lucy. Both of you have got heads in hands at this point.
Yes, I'm presenting...
I've got a headache just thinking about it.
So I'm presenting this thing, and this is a quiz with lots of bonus points, and we'll do, there's three possible answers to this question and all that sort of stuff where you're like, no, can't do that. I've set up a little studio here. There's a light glaring at me. I'm sweating my absolute tits off. Time is running away from us. And that's the other thing as well. Lucy, as a comic, you know there's a rule, which is you don't make a comedy night too long.
No.
And they're all saying it's going to go, we'll finish at 11. And I'm like, fuck, I started at 7:30. Nobody wants a 3.5 hour comedy night.
Especially so, tired parents.
Especially
you know.
Tired. Because during lockdown, we were all tired, drunk and fat. And it was just the worst combo on Zoom. And so we're all sitting there. We're doing the Zoom quiz. And I've managed to change it so it's quicker. It's more efficient. We get to half time. It's all fine. We have a break. We come back. There's two more rounds. I had a celebrity round, which was great. A couple of celebrity people doing questions. It was really nice. Went really well. And then... it gets to the end. I've got 200 people, and I get this text message with the top three teams, right? Top three teams. So I go, great, we're in. It's 10:15. We haven't gone on that late. There's people starting to drop off a bit. Our numbers are down to like 180 by this point. And I said, right, okay, guys, here we go. Hit the top three teams. Right, here we go. And I was vaguely aware my WhatsApp was going, but I was like, guys, I'm broadcasting right now, right? I don't know. So I announced the top three teams in no particular order. There's only 2 points in it, which is always a sign of a great quiz. Only 2 points in it. Great quiz.
Yep.
In third, this team, we cut to them on Zoom. You know, it's like fucking general election night. Like, the production value is going into this. How are you feeling? Okay, mute yourselves. Naff off. Okay, in second place, how are you feeling? But the winners! And of course, with PTA quizzes, it's a big deal. The bragging right. This team go absolutely crackers. There's celebration. Person who was doing music put this great music on it, just looked amazing, and I was like, cue credits, TP's out of here, look at my WhatsApp, and those were the half time results that I just announced to everybody. And the winners were completely different, like they weren't even in the top three. At this point, there's like a Zoom call with all these different faces on. Everyone's dancing. And I have to go, guys, sorry, guys. I'm so sorry. I've actually I've given you the halftime results. So well done for winning the halftime challenge. Thinking, this will be lols. And let's find out who the actual winners are. At which point the mum says, sorry, the Google Doc is down. You're going to have to give me 15, 20 minutes, right?
No.
So I'm now looking at, it's 10:30. I'm pissed. Everyone's on the Zoom call, and it took another half an hour until we had the results. It was horrific.
I think nobody would have blamed you for just walking away from just having a bad internet connection at that point. Yeah. Oh dear, guys, my internet's gone down.
But the thing is, they all live nearby, so they'd all know if Virgin Media is down. Everyone around me is on Virgin Media. It was horrendous. But luckily, someone played music, and actually, there was a really nice moment, and it was a lovely thing. And this is why quizzes are lovely things. Everyone coming together in that way. There's a brilliant mum called Rosie who's a DJ, and she was playing this great music, and she was cutting between all the different families on the Zoom call.
Oh,
nice! Yeah. That's gorgeous.
So it was nice.
See, now I know you do that. I'm thinking for our PTA.
I'm sorry, you have got that gig. You and your husband have got that gig sewn up for life. And that's the other thing as well. You, when your kids leave the primary school, you've still got to go back and host those quizzes. You can't go anywhere.
There was something that intrigued me. On your Wikipedia page, again, who knows, so it's Wikipedia, but it said Tom Price invented the format for Wogan's Perfect Recall.
So obviously that's not true because it's on Wikipedia, fake news. I can tell you the person who did invent that quiz is my wife. So Beth she's now a writer, but she was a TV producer for the best part of, 15, 20 years. Mm-hmm. And she invented quiz shows. So yeah, she invented that and a few others.
What would we do with you on this podcast?
I know, that's what I said to Beth just now. It's like they've got the wrong one in this house, honestly.
Next week.
Yeah.
Yes, coming up, Beth Murray, who also has a podcast of her own, which has one of the best podcast titles of all time. It's about childbirth, and it's called One Torn Every Minute.
It's a delight. Maybe that could be a quiz show too. I don't know, but you know.
Well, I tell you what, we're blooming well going to have her on the podcast. Now, Jenny, you've got a quiz for Tom Price, I believe.
I do have a quiz. You had a lovely biographical quiz, and I just went, your name's Price, let's do currency.
Great, nice. Love it.
There we go.
Wicked, yeah.
So you two can work as a team on this because there are some tricky ones in there. Excellent. So this is a vintage quiz question. Which country has the world's oldest currency which is still in use?
Ooh, that is a good question. I'm going to go... Currency all kind of originated in Greece, like Lydia. I seem to remember Lydia being somewhere where they had early currency.
Still in use, though.
Still in use, yeah. So the
Continually in use.
I would say, I feel like it might be somewhere in the Middle East. What do you think, Tommy?
Yeah, I'm going to say that as well because I can't think of any currencies. All I can think of is the word drachma going round and round my head.
I can tell you it's 775 AD it can go back to.
Wow. Oh.
Is it wheat? Is it people's firstborn daughters?
Which is Monmouth. That's,
I will accept that. It's the UK.
Wow.
It's Offa. He minted the first pennies in Offa.
Oh, well, good for us. Well done, us.
There you go.
Okay.
Very good.
Question number two. A study in 2020 revealed that what percentage of Irish banknotes contain traces of cocaine?
100.
Correct.
Yes!
Wow. It's not kissing the Blarney Stone that makes them talkative, is it? It's something else.
We'd have never left the Euro if they'd announced that in 2016. Sorry. Go on.
And finally, let's wrap this up because you're a bit good at this now. In the Middle East, you're talking about the Middle East. Way out in the Middle East, Iran, Turkey and Georgia border one another. What is unusual about their currencies?
Ooh.
Iran, Turkey and Georgia.
Unusual about them. They don't have any either coins or notes. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah, no coins.
No.
Oh.
No. How do you survive? Come on.
I don't know. It's unusual, isn't it? That's why.
A cup of coffee or something. Bitcoin.
Don't get me started on Bitcoin. lost £23 today.
I mean, I can't really think that they are all edible.
I'm going to say, strangely enough, this was involved in Lucy's quiz.
Oh.
By coincidence, we weren't conferring.
No.
They are. I was about to say bigger on the inside than the outside.
They're anagrams of each other.
They are anagrams of one another.
The lira, the eril, and the lyre, or something.
Well, Turkey's got the lira, Iran's got the rial, and Georgia has the lari.
That's brilliant.
Well, there you go.
So, you're all right on currency. You've learned something there.
Thank you.
And you showed off a bit of knowledge. Yes.
That was a brilliant quiz.
Thanks, guys. I feel better at myself, weirdly. It's unusual.
Oh, well, that's what we want. And you, of course, as well as being a voice on Magic FM... Which is more of the songs you love? Is that
more of the songs you love?
I listen to it on the days when Radio 2 feels a bit edgy. Then magic is just the very thing.
Ryland is near the knuckle. Someone hand me Savage Garden now.
But we love you on Magic and also on your own. So I know I've done at least one of your podcasts. So the Toaster Pod.
You were a very early guest on My Mate Bought a Toaster, Lucy.
My Mate Bought a Toaster is the full name.
Open up celebrity and comedians' Amazon purchase histories, and we go through their Amazon account and ridicule them, basically, Jenny. It's an absolute joy.
It is great fun. I talked about shapewear at length, I seem to remember, which was it was a lot of fun. And what else? Have you got anything else that we need to be listening to?
No, I mean, I would love it if you listened to My Mate Bought a Toaster. I would love it if you listened to Beth's podcast, One Ton Every Minute. She's got the new series coming out soon, and it's got Jane Garvey and Sophie Ellis-Bexter and more brilliant people on it. So just give me a follow on Twitter, at Price Tom, and you'll see all the gubbins, you know.
Well, we will do that, and we will be interviewing your wife at some point.
If we she'd can, love that.
If we can squeeze it in, so if she can squeeze us in.
Which, she can, trust me.
With One Torn Every Minute, this is all... Anyway, let's leave it there. Let's just leave it there. Thank you so much, you gorgeous human being. Mr. Tom Price!
Thanks, guys. Clap him off.
Yeah. And now we are being joined once again. You loved him early in the show. You're going to love him even more now. It's the one and only Mr. Alex McMillan.
Woo! I don't know if I can live up to that description, but I will try.
You can. Well, Amanda tells us that your quiz questions are very good, as one would expect, obviously.
Professional standard
quiz questions. So it's time for the quiz. Take it away, Alex.
So these are sort of five questions I wrote when I was a student. And these are sort of the sort of interesting questions I wedge in if a set gets too dull. So I'm hoping these will have some interesting factoid behind them.
Nice.
Okay, so my first question is, the zoopraxiscope, invented by Edward Muybridge, was a device most famously used for viewing which animal?
The horse.
It's I a only
zoe yeah, isn't no. it? Yeah.
A zebra, because it's a stripy horse.
Now, I've got it as horse, but I suppose, given that it was in black and white and moving at speed, it could have been a zebra.
You're being very kind, Alex.
The zoopraxiscope shows video at roughly 15 frames a second when you spin it. So I was doing a bit of calculation. I found you could fit a 90-minute film onto one as long as the zoopraxiscope had a diameter of about 2 kilometres.
Let's build one.
Set it up.
Yes. You could do it on a big roundabout somewhere. Make a big roundabout out of it.
This is Christopher Nolan's next big stunt.
Love that.
I would not put it past him.
Tenet 2, only on zoopraxiscope. I've got another mildly filmic one here. So question 2. The 1960 film Scent of Mystery was the first film to use what infamous system?
Oh,
it's smell-o-vision. Scratch and sniff.
Is smell-o-vision, Jenny?
Oh, they put that was the
pumped
one they put,
in?
They put it was pumped in.
Pumped in.
I've done, you know, when I was a kid, occasionally they would have a scratch and sniff card would go out with the Beano, and you'd watch something on CBBC.
And
they all just smelled the same anyway.
That's so much synchronization.
Mildly
work.
Farty. But
I
yeah,
they were all sort of weirdly like shoe polish whenever I've done them. To the point where I reckon they probably are shoe polish.
Yes, assorted chemicals from whichever factory had some spare that week.
Well, I get the Avon catalogue every month, and they have scratch and sniff in that, and it's my absolute favourite thing. I never buy any of the perfumes, but I do the scratch and sniff, me and the kids, and they all smell pretty much the same as well, to be honest.
Don't need to buy anything, just stick the little sample on
yes!
your neck. There you go, good to go.
If people want to smell me, they can scratch me. If they don't, then they can just go about their business. Yeah.
Next show, Lucy. Next show at the Fringe, we'll have a scratch and sniff poster.
Oh, Lucy Porter, scratch and sniff. That would be a very good name for a show and a very disgusting poster.
My third question. The first cafe in which famous chain opened in June 1971 on Old Park Lane in Mayfair?
Bagsy, this one.
Oh, go on. Home territory.
I think it's the Hard Rock Cafe.
It is indeed the Hard Rock Cafe.
Yes. I'm just old, guys. I remember the excitement about the fact you could see, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger's jacket or something. There was some... Oh, no, that was Planet Hollywood. But anyway, the Hard Rock Cafe.
I reckon they've got a copy
strung
in there.
Up everywhere.
You see, it's really interesting because I was looking into this. So it opened in 1971 by two Londoners. And they didn't start putting rock memorabilia on the walls until 1979. So what did it look like for the first 8 years?
just a cafe that they called...
It was themed around rocks. It was a geology themed.
And that wasn't selling. And then, well, do you know what the building that it was in used to be?
I don't.
Oh.
It was, I believe, I think it might have been the original headquarters of Coutts, or it was a bank anyway.
That does make sense now that you said it. It's got that sort of rigid structuralness that it would need.
And do you know who owns the Hard Rock Cafe chain now?
I have this down and I think it's very interesting.
Go on, Lucy. If you don't know it, you'll never guess it.
Ooh.
It's a group of people rather than a person.
Oh, is it Bucks Fizz?
You are close. It's the Seminole Nation.
Slightly
Seminole
larger than
Seminole Tribe of Florida owns the Hard Rock Cafe.
Wow, that's extraordinary.
Yeah.
Wow, this has been an absolutely fascinating little chat. I love it.
The Hard Rock
this.
Cafe has never been owned by the people you would expect it to be owned by.
Not even Bucks Fizz. Did it get a sniff?
God, I wonder if any Hard Rock Cafe has any Bucks Fizz memorabilia.
You'd hope so, because what harder rock is the... My camera never lies.
Walk in. There's not a single thing in here that's Eurovision related. I'm out of here.
Eurovision Cafe, though. Now we're talking.
We Again, have a lot of plans in
Amanda,
place.
Write it down. Yeah. NDAs.
So question 4. Which colour of the rainbow did Isaac Asimov suggest was not worth the dignity of being considered a separate colour?
Oh,
I mean, you'd think Indigo and Violet, wouldn't you?
But which one did he hate more? That's the question.
I mean, Indigo is kind of... It's kind of blue, but also kind of violet. So it's kind of like...
And you've got
your mind up. Are you blue? Are you purple? Which are you?
Making your mind up, Jenny.
Hey! European Cafe, back there.
It's all about the fizz, isn't it? It's all about the fizz. Well, I mean, I think he was living in the land of make-believe because they are both very good colours.
We're very pro all colours of the rainbow here.
We are.
I'm going to plump for Indigo.
I'll plump with you.
And you would both be right to plump for Indigo.
Hey! Plump for Indigo.
Oh, nice.
Hey,
yeah,
yeah. He said... It is customary to list indigo as a colour lying between blue and violet, but it has never seemed to me that indigo is worth the dignity of being considered a separate colour. To my eyes, it seems merely deep blue.
Gosh. Okay.
You know, I'm casting my mind back to primary school, and I think I probably thought almost the same thing as Asimov, just didn't quite articulate it as well.
Yeah.
See, you got that far down the rainbow, you're thinking, but what is indigo?
Born too late, Jenny. Are you?
What's the point?
Sticks and purple there. That's what it needs.
Yeah, when you're colouring it in, you know, it's a faff, isn't it? You'd think, I just want to put purple down the bottom. Also, Isaac
Asimov. Pink as well is what you want.
You do. Pink should be in the rainbow. There you go.
Yeah, pink, not indigo.
A nice tartan strip would also, I think, suit quite nicely.
Yes, yes, yes. And I mean, you can't see this at home, but Alex is wearing one of the nicest, stripiest tops that I've seen in a long time.
Confused zebra jumper.
Yeah,
it's the combo of the top and the red curtain, which is making me think of Twin Peaks quite heavily.
I will take that. Was not necessary. It was not what I was going for, but I'll take that as the intended effect.
Yeah, yeah.
And it gives the listeners a nice picture, doesn't it?
So there we go.
We've done pretty well so far. Is that? Have we got one more question to go?
We've got one more here.
Nice.
Tense stuff.
So they're very good questions because they've all been good talking points as well, which is what you want in a quiz, isn't it?
It was definitely these were constructed in a way that if I felt the room was turning on me, I could throw one of these in just to get a, oh,
that's good
when
quiz
I gave
mastery.
The answers. Okay, and the final question is 15 meters wide and weighing 3 tons. The world's biggest what was made in Greater Manchester in 1994?
Right, Greater Manchester, right, you see, I'd go pie, but that's Yorkshire, that's Denby Dale. But that's... Give me the dimensions again. 15 metres wide.
And weighing 3 tonnes. And I think... I didn't write the height down. But I think it was probably...
It's either a pizza or a pie. It could be pizza. Because you can have a 15 metre pizza to that.
But then why would you do it in
Yorkshire is known for its pies. It's magical, huge pies at special occasions. But Greater Manchester, Wigan is technically in Greater Manchester. Wigan's known for its pies. I'm going to go pie.
I think it's an Eccles cake.
Okay.
Imagine!
That would be a lot of Eccles cake.
Both going to baked goods.
Yeah, we're going to baked good.
Okay, unless he's throwing us off and it's actually a zoopraxoscope and someone was trying to...
delicious.
It was the best way to watch E.T. I can't... Oh, sorry.
Is it edible?
Is it food?
It's edible, according to all reports I saw.
Oh. It was intended to be edible and it was eaten.
Yes.
Is it a sandwich? Just a simple sandwich?
It's not a sandwich. I can tell you, I've got a press image here that might give you a clue.
Mm-hmm.
If I can describe it.
Does it include flour?
It does include flour, yes.
Okay, so I think, yeah, we're all right.
What weighs 3 tonnes? It could be a Yorkshire pudding. Some of my Yorkshire puddings have weighed about 3 tonnes.
In Lancashire? Greater Manchester, wrong side of the Pennines.
The man in this PR image is wearing a construction suit and he's holding a giant plastic lemon that he is...
Pancake!
It's a pancake, yes.
Well done, Jenny.
It's in Rochdale.
The Rochdale pancake.
Famous for its pancakes. I was trying to think of cultural associations, as was Lucy with the Eccles cake and pancake.
It does sound like they're mildly disgraced by it. 40,000 people went to see it be made, and it was a 50-foot pan, and then they all had to wait for hours because it needed time to cook. And then it was cut into 15,000 portions and sold off. But according to Rochdale residents who remember the event, it wasn't edible
and most of it ended up on the road.
Stick it in the freezer and sell it on eBay later on, wouldn't you? That would be
if only Rochdale residents had the foresight.
Yeah, I mean, I'd buy it.
Well, I'm glad that you foxed us there in the end, Alex, because that was such a brilliant quiz, and we thank you so much for that brilliant quizzing. And it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed, Alex.
Thank you for having me.
Hooray.
Yeah.
Well, that was a brilliant episode, Jen. Lovely Tom Price and the wonderful Alex McMillan. Thank you very much to them.
It was very boy heavy, that. It was what I would term a sausage fest.
It was a sausage fest.
So I think we should go from one tremendous comedian, male, open brackets, male, close brackets, to a tremendous female comedian next week in the form of Wales's very own.
Genuinely Welsh.
Pritchard, very Welsh. Henry Pritchard MacLean will be joining us to talk, hopefully, about her time on Pointless.
Fantastic. Well, I am looking forward to that enormously. And thank you so much to all our guests this week, to our gorgeous producer, Amanda, and to you, the listeners. See you next time on Fingers on Buzzers. Bye.
Bye.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman, with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.